This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go
aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour supersonic soul train line. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Carlsbad to Cleveland, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How we doing, everybody? Good Trash Tuesday to you. Indeed, today is the day of the week that we like to vent, get things off of our chest, gripe and moan, so that we are able to clear our heads and move on with our days and our weeks. And so today, Trash Tuesday comes your way. Next hour on the show, you can get your trashes in via Twitter, DA on CBS, also via Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. We'll read those throughout the morning and get to ours next hour on the show. Also, in the third hour of the program, Chris Rose from MLB Network will join us. Another teenager doing amazing things, this time in D.C. for the Nats. It's a year of the youngsters. And how about Mike Trout right now having one of the greatest statistical seasons ever in Major League Baseball history? But did anybody notice? We'll talk to Chris Rose about that coming up in the third hour of the show. Lots to get to this morning. Alexander Ovechkin playing like a beast last night, forcing a game number 7. Tom Brady is skipping OTAs. Is that a big deal? Kyrie Irving and his ego, we will dissect. And we've got two amazing food-ordering baller moves to compare and contrast.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
One happened to Mraz yesterday here inside the newsroom, and it was startling. One is an order that has gone viral. We will dissect, compare, contrast both of them, kind of like the MJ LeBron debate, which is the greater ordering moment. That's coming up next hour on the show. As always, you can hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Sorry. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, as I mentioned before, DA on CBS. Eastern Conference Finals last night, game number 4 in Cleveland. Had the Cavaliers lost last night, could have been the last LeBron home game in Cleveland should he choose to leave this offseason, which I think is absolutely positively on the table. But instead, another ho-hum, yawn, 44-point night for LeBron. And the Cavaliers really kind of dominated this game throughout. Celtics had cut the lead to 7 a couple of times late. However, enough Cleveland, enough Cavaliers down the stretch when it mattered. And the Cavs tie the series at 2 games apiece. Now, this was a series that the Celtics were in complete control of up 2-0. Having taken the first 2 at home, knowing if you get the split on the road in Cleveland, you come home in a game number 5 where you haven't lost yet this postseason. So far, you are totally dominant, unbeatable at home. If you get 1 on the road in Cleveland, You might show up this series in five, and you might be waiting to see who you play in the NBA Finals. And let's face it, after the first two in Boston went the Celtics' way, many of us said, uh-oh, this could be a short series because the Cavaliers look dead. But here we are at 2-2, and that means it becomes a best of three, and that means that the best of three, LeBron, still obviously by leaps and bounds the best player on the floor, has a chance at a best of three to move along. Now, game five and a potential game number seven, both in Boston. But by losing these two in Cleveland, did the Celtics blow their chance? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Try to wheel to the corner to Rozier. Gets it there. Rozier now to the foul line down the lane. Blocked by Thompson. Oh, Tristan tacked him down and made the rejection. LeBron James now the other way to the foul line down the lane. Finger roll. He scores. Thompson at one end. James at the other. LeBron has 30, and the Cavaliers have a 78-66 lead.
My teammates are putting me in position and wanting me to be in attack mode and trust me to be to put our guys in position to be successful. So, you know, it's not about me. You know, it's about the collective group, and I'm one of the byproducts of that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Cavs Radio on the call. That, of course, was LeBron following the game. Did the Celtics blow their chance at this series by losing both of these games? I say no. I think Boston still can win its home games, have been dominant at home, seem to play totally differently at home, and have two at home. If they hold serve at home in five and seven, they still go on to the Eastern Finals. Here's, though, the risk. The risk is the longer this series goes, the better the chances are that LeBron just has one of those crazy, I am taking this, there's nothing you can do games in an elimination spot. In other words, game seven or a game six, should Cleveland win in Boston, the TD Garden on Wednesday, give LeBron a chance at home to wipe the floor with you, and he has been awesome in those moments, those opportunities, elimination games over the last five, six, 7 years. And he has done this to the Celtics before in Boston. I think he relishes the opportunity to do exactly that. As I've said before, one of the most amazing moments I've ever witnessed in sports was when nobody thought LeBron would ever beat the Celtics when they still had the big three. And the Celtics led that series 3-2. And they had a game six at home against Miami with a chance to close out. And everybody in New England, everybody in Boston, and most people nationally said, this is where the Celtics will once again erase LeBron because this is his Achilles heel. This is his witch that he cannot kill. And he went out there and dominated that game, game six of the Eastern Conference Finals in Boston for Miami, and totally throttled a tremendous Celtics team, grabbed control of that series, and the Heat closed out at a game seven at home. He lives for those moments. I think if the Celtics were going to eliminate the Cavaliers, it was up 2-0, put your foot on the throat. But I can't sit here and tell you that the Celtics can't get it done, but they're playing with fire the longer that this series goes, and now it's going a minimum of six, and it's coming back to the Cleveland Cavaliers home court in a game six. Because I'll tell you, even though the Celtics are amazing at home, can't lose at home, you give me LeBron on the road in Boston to game number seven, I'm taking LeBron. So I think right now the Celtics obviously have to get game five at home. They do not want to have to survive elimination on the road against LeBron. But I also think this was an opportune moment that a young team let slip by. Maybe they started reading some of their press clippings, because looking at them last night, they really played a putrid first half. They fell behind early, and the Cavaliers always extended that lead. And even though there were a couple of mini runs from the Celtics last night to close the gap a couple of times, as I mentioned, to 7 points, it was just too big a gap to make up on the road, especially on a night where LeBron had it cooking. So to me, this was a golden opportunity for the Celtics, lost by not getting one of these two in Cleveland. But it doesn't mean the series is over. It just means the job becomes harder. And yes, there's a part that says, well, the longer that this goes, LeBron has to carry a lot of the weight of this franchise. Maybe he gets tired. Maybe he wears down by the end of the series. No, LeBron usually gets better as the series moves along. And LeBron in a Game 7, we saw this a couple of weeks ago in the Game 7 of the first round against Indiana. You don't want LeBron in a Game 7. You don't want him. You don't want to have to face him. A golden opportunity lost by the Celtics, but not all is lost. But I think the challenge became harder. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Meantime, tonight for the Houston Rockets, I hate calling anything that's not an elimination game a must win. They trail 2-1. This one's at Oracle. But for all intents and purposes, if the Rockets lose tonight, the series is over. And I hate to mark them dead because I want long series. And one of the things that I loved about last night was at least we know we're getting 6 games to the Eastern Conference Finals. Minimum 6. Because there's been so little drama in the NBA playoffs. But for the Rockets, they're not ripping off 3 straight. Against Golden State. It's not happening. Now, they would get 2 of those at home. They'd get Game 5 at home and then a Game 7 at home. But think of the challenge staring the Rockets in the face to try to win 3 games in a row to win the West over Golden State. They got to get tonight's game. And what does that mean? That means James Harden's decreasing production in each game of this series has to go back up to 35 to 38 points. Man, you're the NBA MVP. You're one of the best players in the league. You were the leading catalyst of one of the best offenses and the team with the best record at 65 wins this season. Tonight is James Harden's night. Tonight is James Harden's night. Yes, Chris Paul will have a say in this, but Chris Paul can't create the offense, can't be as explosive as James Harden can. Tonight is the Harden night. If you're the NBA MVP, tonight is when you have to deliver. Yes, it's on the road. Yes, it's against the defending champions. Yes, this is a difficult spot. But I'm sorry, you've got to put James Harden in for 35 points. He must get 35 because the Rockets have to have tonight's game. And if they're going to get tonight's game, their best player has to go off. When we come back, how about one of the league's best players, an MVP that did go off when it mattered most and yet didn't score a goal in doing so? The dominance of Alexander Ovechkin without scoring last night in a gutty Game 6 win by the Capitals. That's coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Full episodes available of the DA Show on iTunes. If you miss anything or want to hear it again, simply search iTunes and find DA and CBS. You'll see full episodes there, full hours there, full interviews there. Also the PGP there and on our website, daoncbs.com. It's a Trash Tuesday, boys and girls, so get your trashings in on Twitter, DA on CBS. What are you trashing? Who are you trashing? DA on CBS. Or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Also coming up next hour, 2 baller food orders that we experienced yesterday. And we ask, who did it best?
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
But last night, in a Game 6, this is where the Washington Capitals always El Choco. Best record in the NHL. President's trophies, superstars, big expectations, one seeds. Constantly, the Washington Capitals have been put in a place to be the dominant force in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Alexander Ovechkin is one of the most amazing combinations of size and skill we have ever seen in the NHL's long annals. And yet the Capitals have never reached the Stanley Cup Finals. Heck, before this year, they had never reached the Eastern Conference Finals with this group, with this generation. And it seemed like Alexander Ovechkin would forever be one of the best players never to win a damn thing. Forever, it seemed like Alexander Ovechkin was destined to be the hockey version of Dominique Wilkins. Dynamic player, human highlight reel, make your jaw drop, but hold all of the moments that don't matter. All of those great regular season goals, all of those scoring titles, but nothing that ever mattered. And lo and behold, this year, not only did the Capitals, who always choke, come back from down 2-0 in the first round, having lost both at home, losing two-goal leads to Columbus and the Blue Jackrabbits. But then in a second-round series against the Pittsburgh Penguins, their arch nemesis, think of Peyton Manning being unable to get through Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Until, of course, he did in 2006. That was Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. And he gets past them. And now he finds himself a step away from the Stanley Cup final, perhaps hoisting his first Stanley Cup ever. And here comes the blue streak of the Tampa Bay Lightning, taking both in D.C., taking both in D.C., just rubbing it in their face, and said, here it comes again. Here it comes again. They're going to choke again. They're going to go quietly into the night again. Ovechkin's going to be embarrassed again. And last night in a game number 6 to stave off elimination, a gritty, gutty, desperate performance by the Capitals proves this is not your old Capitals team. And the coolest part about last night was that Ovechkin, who is forever known for his elite scoring ability, did everything to help his team except score. And the rest of the Capitals picked up the slack. Braden Holtby pitches a shutout, and the Capitals have forced the most beautiful thing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, a game number 7.
And for Hedman, broken up and sent by Beagle towards center. Backstrom now will be the trailer into the zone, and a shot here. They score! T.J. Oshie into the empty nets. We will see you in Tampa Bay on Wednesday night. It is 3-0 Washington.
Capitals radio on the call. So Washington forces a game number 7 in Tampa for all the marbles for a chance to go to the Stanley Cup final. How great is this? And this is what's amazing, is that we know the scoring ability. We know the elite stick handling. We know what Ovechkin can be offensively. But Alexander Ovechkin has also been one of the biggest, most powerful players in the NHL. And last night, he asserted his dominance not by scoring, but by laying out Lightning and by trucking players on the ice. He set the tone last night. And Ovechkin has forever been crucified for not doing enough when it mattered. And last night, he did everything besides score and totally set the tone for his Capitals team. Mraz Don Cherry a la mode. How impressive was Ovechkin last night to do all the things he did to help his team win and not show up in the scoring sheet?
Unprecedented. And this has been Ovechkin's whole career, to be physical, to use his big body.
But last night was on a whole nother level. It was, we've made it this far, and I'll be damned if we get eliminated on a chance to go to the Cup in our house. To throw his body around like that, to have a captain do that, to set the tone. Usually you sign guys in the NHL to play on the wing with your star players to set that tone and throw the body around. He was the one setting that tone last night. It was unbelievable. And Tampa had to leave that game feeling like they were just run over by a dump truck. It was all led by Ovechkin.
Now, my question is, what do you think changed with Ovechkin this year? What has changed with the Capitals? What has changed with Ovechkin? Because this has never been their MO. It's never been his MO.
I mean, him personally, he's always kind of gotten a bad rap in the playoffs. He scored some big goals here or there. I think at some point you just kind of put everything on the back and maybe getting through that first series where it was a little tough versus the Blue Jack Rabbits. And maybe just something clicked versus Pittsburgh. Sometimes you got to keep breaking down that wall, breaking down that wall. I don't know if anything's necessarily changed, but just a couple wins here or there in these playoffs maybe just changed the confidence and the mentality in them that they will not die.
Well, and they can win in Tampa because they've already done it twice in this
100%
series.
100% they can. If Braden Holtby plays like that, that's what goes unnoticed. They had all these hits and everything. Braden Holtby stood on his head last night making some unbelievable saves. And you get veteran leadership like TJ Oshie, which he didn't have 5 years ago on this team, scoring two big goals last night, including the power play goal. The roster's perfect around him. Braden Holtby's playing awesome, and Barry Trotz is a heck of a head coach.
We've made this comparison before, but there is a lot of Peyton Manning in 2006 right now in the Washington Capitals. Think about those Colts teams in 2000 right through 2006, where even in 99 when they were 13-3 and lost in their first playoff game at home to that Titans squad. Those teams under Peyton Manning and then the early Tony Dungy years would put up extraordinary offensive stats. They would always be the one seed or the two seed in the playoffs. And they could never win when it mattered in the postseason. It kept running into postseason lack of success. And Peyton Manning never played his best when it mattered to the playoffs. And that really has been what the Washington Capitals' story and narrative has been. Great offensive stats, great regular season team, future Hall of Famer in Ovechkin, but just came up small and never seemed to have the grit or the guts when it really mattered. And in 2006... that Colts team and Peyton Manning had to exercise all of their demons because they actually were a playoff team that year, but as a wild card, and they come into the playoffs and they have to go on the road in the divisional round to Baltimore, to the Ravens, play a defensive-minded team. And remember, that was that rainy, cold game where it's all field goals. Vinatieri ends up basically winning the game on only field goals. And then they go to the AFC title game. They find themselves down 21-3 to the Patriots. Everybody says, oh, here we go again. Patriots always have Peyton Manning's number. And then Peyton has the second half of his lifetime at home, beats the Patriots, goes to the Super Bowl, and then wins his first championship, his only one in Indianapolis. There's a lot of parallels happening right now with Ovechkin and the Capitals in breaking down those doors and finally getting it done when we always said you can't get it done. And maybe getting past the Penguins was getting past their New England Patriots. But right now, they've got a Game 7. And how great is this that we get Ovechkin in a Game 7 to get to his first Stanley Cup final? I mean, this should be must-see theater coming up in Game 7. When we come back, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, including Brad Stevens after last night's Game number 4 loss. And another John Sterling home run call. What could be better than that? And you know, Susan. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Steve Spurrier joins us. Coach, good morning.
And of course, the Spanish colonized Florida first up in St. Augustine. They were actually pretty good people in the state of Florida way back in the 1500s, 1600s, and so forth.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The only show where you get a history lesson with some of the greatest coaches in college football history, the DA show here on CBS Sports Radio. And a reminder, it's a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up on both Twitter and on Facebook to let us know what you're trashing, facebook.com/TheDAShow or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll get to our trashings coming up here in just a little bit. Trashings already coming in, pouring in from the voting booths. Dixie Landan tweeting, DA, I'm trashing people who say not to call them sir, ma'am after you say it to them. Look, I took way too many whoopings as a kid not to say sir, ma'am. Also, people who think regular Mountain Dew is better than Baja Blast. You're wrong, and you're a danger to society.
You've been trashed.
Hashtag Baja Blast for life. I have not had a Mountain Dew probably since high school because I found when it was coursing through my veins, I felt like I was on cocaine if I had ever actually done cocaine. I said, this is what it must feel like. I was not ready for that. My body freaked out. I was a young, developing boy, and I said, this is not good. This is just too strong. This is just too explosive to be coursing through my veins. I need to step away and step away quickly. But I will take Dixieland Dan's word for it. Baja Blast, better than regular Mountain Dew. And if you disagree, you're a danger to society. The First Lady of Trash Tuesday weighing in, Courtney tweets, I'm simultaneously trashing Starbucks and Khloe Kardashian. I love both, but ever since he who shall not be named cheated on Khloe, all baristas feel compelled to spell my name with a K. I'm all for solidarity, but hashtag give me my name back.
Taking out the trash.
My bad. My bad. Courtney, the First Lady of Trash Tuesday. Spells with a C. Baristas. That's me!
That's me! It's me!
No, I'm not talking about the 1991 hit movie Hook.
It's me!
Nah, I'm not talking about any of the pirates. I'm not talking about Peter Pan. I'm talking about Courtney with a C.
That's me.
That's you.
It's me.
No, not Smee.
Me.
I love that Shohei Ohtani is throwing 100. And also being talked about for the home run derby. I know the home run derby is a gimmick. But he still has 6 home runs this season in part-time DH duty. So let's say he's projected to about, 18 to 19 home runs. A starting pitcher would hit 18 to 19 home runs is pretty amazing. A starting pitcher who's pretty good. Hitting 18 or 19 home runs. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It's soundcheck time.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
LeBron James, 44 points last night, also breaks the record for most playoff field goals ever made, passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. So how about these two stats that LeBron has collected in his playoff career over the last calendar year? This year, he passes Kareem for most field goals made in NBA playoff history. So the most buckets ever in playoff history. Last year, he passed MJ for the all-time playoff scoring mark. So now he holds the record for most buckets ever in playoff history and most points scored in playoff history. I'm not saying, but I'm saying, anybody who does not put him in the top three all time is absolutely crazy. I would still give MJ the edge by an oomph, by oomph. Not by much, but by oomph. But that gap is closing. And LeBron's one of the three greatest players of all time. And to me, is right now already at number two all time.
He's the best in the game at evaluating the court and figuring out what he wants and where he wants it. And the thing about it is that, you know, you just have to battle. You just have to make it as hard as possible because he's going to find a matchup that he ultimately wants. And you have to, again, not let the other guys go off, and which we did again a little bit, and then make sure you make it as tough on him as possible.
We all love Brad Stevens the first two games when he jumped out to a 2-0 series lead over the Cavaliers, and now suddenly nobody talking about how brilliant Brad Stevens is anymore. But such is life in professional sports, where our opinions swing so dramatically from side to side, from game to game. But the Celtics did not look ready for games three or games four, let's face it. And Brad Stevens is a tremendous head coach. And I would love to have Brad Stevens coaching my team. And I think Stevens balances this impeccable line of humility, but also being a strong leader. There's a lot to love about him. However, the Celtics did not play well in Cleveland, and they have not played well on the road. And they were an excellent team, an unbeatable team at home, but they are just not the same team when it comes to playing on the road in these playoffs. And so some of that goes to the coach, let's be completely fair, because last night, the Celtics simply did not play well in the first half, dug themselves a hole, and could never catch up. They did not play well in Cleveland. And now it's 2-2, best of three series. They get two of them at home, 5-7. And if they take care of their games at home, and they have not lost at home yet this postseason, they'll go to the NBA Finals. But if you're going to give Brad Stevens all the credit in the world, which he deserved a lot of for getting them that far in a 2-0 series lead, he's got to take some blame as well when you don't play well, like they have not played well on the road to the playoffs. John Sterling's back at it. Yankees radio network last night testing out his new home run call for Neil Walker.
And there's the 2-0. Swung on and hit in the air to right. Hit ball is high. Not as far. It is gone. Tiger Stadium upper deck. Neil Walker, the home run corker, hits one of the seats. And the Yankees take a 4-1 lead.
No.
I am the epic fail.
No. I'm sorry, no. The home run corker?
Neil, that's baseball.
Neil Walker is the home run corker? There's an R in there. There's no R in Walker in terms of before the final letter.
Also, wouldn't it be the uncorker? Like he uncorked a home run? Not corking it means putting a, you know, a stamp in it, right? Like plugging a hole.
It'd be like corking a wine bottle.
Right, you're uncorking a home run. Neil Walker, the home run uncorker.
The home run corker.
No. Oh, God. See, here is the inherent problem with John Sterling. He has become such a cartoon, and he is known only for his signature home run calls, that now every player has to have a home run call. It'd be nice if there's just a home run, and it does, there's not some quirky home run signature behind it. Why can't it just be home run Neil Walker, Yankees lead 8-6?
He's the Neil deal.
I just don't understand. See, he has gone too far. This is where it gets dangerous. This is where becoming a caricature of yourself becomes dangerous, because
the home run corker.
You start forcing it, and that is not a good one. That stinks. Jim tweets, Neil Walker, the home run corker. What's next, John Sterling? You're going to drop a Neil Walker, the home run stalker? Easy, Johnny, easy. I think I'd appreciate home run stalker better than home run corker.
Walker and corker are two different words. They don't sound the same. It's like the people call Terry Rozier Scary Terry. Scary and Terry don't rhyme either.
It is.
I can't think of anything to say for Neil Walker.
It is.
It is.
The 2-2-2-2. Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge.
It is.
So my dad just bought a new tractor, and he couldn't figure out how to turn over the engine, and that's exactly how it sounded.
It is. It is.
I was working on it with him. He goes, I can't figure this thing out. I think the battery's dead. And that's exactly how it sounded.
It is.
He bought a tractor to cut the lawn. Husqvarna even. He gets it home. He's like, check it out. Dame's got a Kawasaki engine. I'm like, all right, let's turn it on. And all it is John Sterling doing a home run call.
It is.
And then finally, Kevin Durant on, this is just the stupidest story ever. Oh my God, Steph Curry cursed on the floor. Can you believe he cursed on the floor? I see stories about how people say he really needed to let loose. He really. So Steph Curry is the only guy ever that needed to curse, and that was a big story. Guys curse all the time in athletics.
When he releases the F-bomb, I mean, of course I like it, you know, because that word is just an important word when you're playing basketball. You know, it means so much. But I just like his excitement for the game and his intensity. And my crowd feeds off of that, and we feed off our crowd.
Okay, so I hope Kevin Durant is joking there. Because if he's serious that word means so much and is a very important word on the floor, it's often used. And let's face it, when you drop that word, there's a certain... It feels good because of the way that you can drop the F and the way that it ends with a hard K. There is a lot of, you know, you get some anger and frustration out. There's something that's therapeutic about dropping that word, but it's a very important word on the court. I don't know.
It means so much.
It just means so much. You know, it's like telling your mom I love you on Mother's Day. It just, that word just means so much to so many.
It means so much.
So much to so many people. The Warriors exist in this land where, you know how you ever, if you've ever met somebody who's really rich, like not a millionaire, but like a billionaire, and so they don't live anywhere close to real life. So they have like 5 homes, 2 yachts, a fleet of cars. They have maids and butlers and personal chefs. And they never drive their kids anywhere. They have drivers drive their kids somewhere. And so they're totally detached from everything. And their senses of humor, maybe you don't know somebody like this, but maybe you've seen somebody like this on television. And you're like, wow, that person's not really even a real human being because they have no real interaction with other people. That's the Warriors a lot of the time. Like, they are so elite. They are so good and so talented and so powerful that they know as long as they're focused and not bored, they're going to beat everybody by 20, that they start becoming kind of these crazy rich people that are totally detached. Like, you know, that word just means so much. And I'm just so happy that Steph Curry finally dropped an F-bomb. You know, and Steph Curry is allowed to pantomime pulling his pants down on the floor, but he really wasn't trying to do that. But, you know, sometimes we need that. And Draymond Green's a really good guy. And, you know, people want to punch him in the face, but we don't understand why. And, you know, they just start talking really weird. And Kevin Durant is on the phone using alter egos on Twitter to defend his honor. He's doing it late at night, and he can't stop lying about it. And they're just the billionaires that are totally disconnected from the rest of the world. And they're great. They're hugely successful. But you're like, what are you talking about?
That word is just an important word when you're playing basketball.
Yeah, it just means so much, doesn't it, Kevin?
It means so much.
It just, that word means so much. All right, that is your sound check this morning. Eric tweets, would John Sterling's home run call from Raz be the home run porker?
The home run corker.
Mraz goes yard. The Yankees lead 8-6. Sean Mraz, the home run porker.
The home run corker.
And then there would be the oinking swine squeal, which is perfect for Mraz's Yankeeisms. The home run porker, Susan. Let me tell you about Jimmy Dean sausages, Susan. Pitching change brought to you by Jimmy Dean. James tweets, good morning, DA. Trashing people in the grocery store line who do not pick up the stick to separate orders. There are 4 of them off to the side. Please use them.
Someone just got trashed.
It's true. I know everything's packaged. I know everything's in bags, but I don't want my food touching your food. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where your food has been. I know it's all in the same conveyor belt. It's all getting dirty anyway on this weird moving conveyor belt like it's an assembly line. But still, I don't want my frozen peas touching your frozen peas. I don't know where your hands have been. I don't know if you've used sanitizing lotion today. It's just gross, so please stay away. Please use the dividing line. What they say, good fences make good neighbors. Good grocery store stick usage makes good grocery store patrons. When we come back here on the show, is Brady skipping Patriots OTAs a big deal? DA, CBS Sports Radio, and a Trash Tuesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.